Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Early summer is an amazing place on our farm. We don't have an expansive piece of property, but it's beautiful. We have some meadows and a little bit of forest, an amazing barn that was built in 1851, a little farmhouse that we've remodeled. It's really quite beautiful, and early summer is an especially wonderful time. Our fields are right now growing up with soybeans, and it is beautiful as that canopy of green begins to cover about 10 acres of land. Also, in the evenings, deer seem to come in there a lot and feed, and it's fantastic. We don't want to chase them away. We're glad they're coming. Last night, down in our bottom field, there were four bucks, and from very large to small, with velvet on their horns that were there, and it was great to see it. And at this time of the year, the flowers are brilliant, and the fireflies are out at night, which is a wonder to behold. If you go down in the bottom of our fields and cross a little meadow, it looks like Christmas trees are dancing with light, and that the whole valley just lights up with what seems like hundreds of thousands of fireflies. Often when people come to visit, we ask them, make sure you stay till about 10 because we're going to go down there. It'll take your breath away. God's creation is magnificent. It truly is. And it's important for us to keep our eyes open to it in order that we can allow it to come in and to really touch us. One of the things that I've really enjoyed this summer would be the fact that we have this giant poplar off our porch. It's probably about 50 or 60 feet away from the porch. And it's easily 70 feet tall with giant, big trunk and beautiful, long, sprawling branches. And a pair of orioles have chosen to make a nest right in the outermost branch, right across from the porch. It can't be more than 50 feet from where we sit in the evening on our covered porch in our rocking chairs, believe it or not, and where the oriole nest is. A magnificent nest. It just hangs there like a beautiful velvet bag. And over again, the male and the female oriole come, and they perch on the branch, and then pretty soon, if they have food, one of them jumps down into the nest. And then pretty soon it comes up out and flies, and the next one comes. These orioles are absolutely brilliant. The male is orange and black, and I bring out my field glasses in order that I can sit there and look at them, and then I give them to Cheryl, and she looks. It's really been delightful. I found that even in the weariest of days, or when I've been heavy-hearted, particularly about the ongoing degrading health of my mother particularly, that I sit there on the porch and I'm amazed by it. I get great joy, honestly, just by watching. And all of a sudden, my mind recently went to Psalm number 8. Psalm 8's about, in part, the glory of God's creation. But then there's one other piece that I think deserves a little bit of attention on our part. Let me read Psalm 8 to you. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crown them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What captured me about Psalm 8 recently is I was enjoying seeing the orioles and the little wren that has chosen to make a nest right above us in the porch is how beautiful and magnificent these creatures are. And yet, Jesus Christ came to save us. What the psalmist is saying here is, when I look at your whole creation and then I consider myself, who am I that you would care about me? And yet, God does. Even in all our weakness and wanderings, God cares greatly about us. I began to think about how much joy I got simply from watching these orioles and the wren and the bluebirds that come and the deer in the meadow and the growing of the fields. And then I began to think, does God get that joy as he looks at me, as he looks at you? Yes, we are weak. Yes, we wander and we're wounded and we choose many times to live in ways that are contrary to who we are in Christ. But could it be that God loves us so much that he finds joy? Does he look at us with joy? As I look at these beautiful creations of God, does God look at us with joy? I think the book of Zephaniah would suggest that, yes, he does. Because the book of Zephaniah is very clear about God wanting to sing a song over us in order to quiet us, to still our hearts. Zephaniah 3 talks about God wanting to exchange the shame that's in our lives and give us treasures instead. So it would seem to me that we need to understand the degree to which God loves us, how important we must be that he would send his son to redeem us. I was out in Colorado once looking at Long's Peak, and it was majestic, and there was a beautiful lake there, and over in the meadow there were deer, and we were anticipating a moose coming through. And all of a sudden this thought came to my mind, and yet Jesus didn't come to die for any of them or for any of this. We meant so much to him that he gave his life in order that we can be reconciled to God. In the very early chapter of Genesis, it says that we've been made in God's image, that there is some type of incarnation in our own lives of God in flesh. Jesus set aside his godhood in order that he could become human. And in that, he reflected the image of God. And there's a degree to which there is this type of incarnation in our own lives. And at times when the enemy is beating us down and trying to convince us that we're nothing, God is assuring us that we have value. Yes, we wander. I've used that term already. Yes, there is weakness. And most certainly we are wounded, and those wounds often keep us from living out the wonder of the calling of God. And yet, in the midst of all of that, for those of us who have said yes to Christ, there is a new nature inside of us. It's a gift of God. And it should lift our spirits. When the world is trying to push us down, we need to remember who God says we are and then bring our lives in line with that. There have been some scriptures recently that I've been meditating on that have really been addressing some of the issues of my own life, my own weaknesses particularly, and in that, wanderings. Certainly Isaiah 43, 1-6 is part of that. God talks and says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't worry about the size of the storm. Don't get caught up about the intensity of the fire. Don't panic when it appears that the flood is coming. God says, I'm with you. I'm right there. Oh, I wish I could sit and allow that whisper to go deeper into my own fearful heart. God's there. He's not only left traces of himself in the beauty of the creation that is right before my eyes daily at the farm, but he's speaking a word into my own soul, into your soul. I am with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. He's not saying that we will avoid trial. That's certainly not true, but he is telling us that he will be with us in trial. What are we that he is so mindful of us, that he is so attentive to us? There's something about that that reminds me of Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is teaching, and he's talking about how much God cares for us. He likens it to God's care for the sparrows and the lilies. And then he says, don't be anxious. Don't get all worried about tomorrow. Boy, I can do that. Oh my gosh, can I do that? There's something inside of me that can move to worry so quickly, and it's never good. It always leads to desolation, not consolation. And yet God's word there in Luke is saying, I care for you. I care for you. Trust that I care for you. Isaiah 46 is saying, I'm with you. Luke 12 is saying, I care for you. Well, what about Psalm 23? Psalm 23 is really one of my favorite. I guess it should be. It's almost everyone's favorite psalm. It's many times read at funerals. For me, it's more about life. Especially the very, very first part, the Lord is my shepherd. I love the NIV, I lack nothing. Whatever I need, God is going to provide. I believe it was Bob Dylan once in a song talked about every one of us serves somebody. But what is the nature of the one we serve? We don't serve an ogre or someone that's self-seeking. We serve a majestic God and yet a tender Savior who assures us that we don't lack anything. He walks with us. He has a rod and he has staff. He puts a table before us in the presence of enemies, a table that is sumptuous in everything we truly need. What is man? What are people that you, God, are mindful of us? We who are so weak, who wander so much, and yet, because Christ has come into our lives, your word to us is, I'm with you, no matter what you face. I care for you. You don't even need to worry about tomorrow. You lack nothing, because I am your shepherd. Those are amazing promises. And I think it's one of the reasons that we as Christians need to be glad in Him. Apparently, there's some degree to which God is glad in us. Well, we need to be glad in Him. Lifting up our hearts and praising Him and thanking Him. It's so easy to get preoccupied and forget how much God is with us. How much He cares for us. How much of our story is really God's story, the interaction of God within our lives. Recently, I was thinking about the fact that often in a moment in time, it's hard for me to see God, maybe even to feel or sense God there. But if I look back, oh, there He is. I look at my story and I can see over and over again that there are pieces of my story that I had no idea that God was even involved in. But now as I look from this vantage point, I can see that God was intricately involved and cared. I was thinking of something just the other day. I have a very, very good friend, a close friend. His name is Pete Kuiper. He runs a counseling service up in Buena Vista, Colorado. It's called Crossroads Counseling of the Rockies. Pete's excellent, and he loves to bring people in, and they spend about 5 days with him, very intensely involved, as he helps them meander the wounds and weaknesses of their own lives in order that they then can find freedom in Jesus Christ. Pete's excellent, and he has an excellent staff around him. But let me tell you about Pete in terms of our friendship. Right now, I know he's been a gift of God to me and a dear friend. But when I first met him, that thought didn't even cross my mind. You see, I met Pete Kuiper when I entered a psychiatric hospital almost a quarter of a century ago. I was in a nightmarish time. I'd fallen into a deep, deep canyon. And to my mind, God had abandoned me totally. He was nowhere to be found. It didn't seem that He was mindful of me at all. When I got there in such a despairing state, the clinical director admitted me. And we had a bit of a conversation, and I simply asked him, is there any hope? And of course, he was very encouraging. To me, this individual was simply a staff member, somebody that was there to check me in that I could get to the next level of care. I was petrified. I didn't know if I'd ever find, if you will, homeostasis, mental stability again. Well, that person that I paid no attention to, that was simply sitting in a chair writing down information and pointing me to my next step in the journey, was Pete Kuiper. I didn't realize at the time that he was a gift from God. He was absolutely, without question, someone that was going to walk with me not only through my own journey of healing, but ever since, he's been part of the journey of helping other people find healing. My goodness, Pete and I have done seminars together. We've done retreats together. I couldn't even tell you how many times. And yet at the time, I couldn't see that this was God saying, I'm with you, I care for you, and you lack nothing. But if we take the time to look back, if we examine, we will see that God was interacting many, many times. I was reading recently in a book called The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything, this is my second time through it, about a priest who was talking about the story of Moses when Moses wanted to see God. And God said to Moses, you can't see my face, but you'll see my back. And this writer was commenting on the fact that that's often the way we experience God. We don't see his face right here in the moment, but if we look at our story, we can see evidence of him. We see where he's been, often better than seeing where he is right now. I think that's an amazing principle, that it's easier to see God in retrospect rather than in the present moment. We're just not aware. We're too preoccupied. We don't know that he's right there with us in every moment that we experience. Who are we that God is so mindful of us? Isaiah 43 says, I'm with you. Luke 12 says, I care about you and for you. Psalm 23 says, you lack nothing. Now, that's not just true of me. That's true of you. When we're captured by the beauty of God and the wonder of his creation, and we look at deer and orioles and green meadows and beautiful big poplar trees and little wrens that have made a nest right in the corner of our own porch, and we look there with wonder, let us never forget that God is looking our way with wonder. That he cares about us, that he's never at a great distance, regardless of what we're experiencing. I really think that this is something that we could hold to. It might be good for you today, whether you're driving along or listening at your desk or sitting at home in a comfortable chair, to simply close your eyes and say to God, why are you mindful of me? Why? And then listen to the Holy Spirit. I look at my weaknesses and my wanderings, and I think God would turn his back on me, but that isn't true because of Christ and the grace of Christ. God is actually very, very attentive to his children. It's hard to see sometimes in the moment, but if we look back, we see that he's been there. When I entered a psychiatric hospital, I was pretty convinced life as I knew it was over and that I would never again be able to minister in his name or receive the respect of other people. Oh, was I wrong? Oh, my goodness. Yes, life did change. But God was using that. He was there. He was present. He was shaping me for a different ministry. And now I can look back over the narrative of my life and see that God was intricately involved in every possible way. God is more mindful of you than the beautiful orioles or the nesting wren or the beautiful red deer that are down in the bottom of my meadow. As wonderful as those created beings are, God is mindful of you. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that God sent his son to cross the universe to redeem the Rocky Mountains or the Mississippi River or other aspects of his creation, but he did for you. That's how important it is. That's the extent to which God wants to show you his lavish grace. And I think if we could embrace that at times when we're struggling, all of a sudden we would find, like St. Ignatius said, that we move from desolation to consolation, and suddenly where there was darkness, there is light. I think that's something God wants for you today. Now, at one level, I could end this by saying, I hope you can be glad in the Lord. Well, that's true, but I think a better thing to end on would be suggesting that you get quiet before the Lord and simply ask, why are you mindful? Who am I that you are so mindful of me? That, as Isaiah 43 says, you're with me. Luke 12, you care for me. Psalm 23, I lack nothing because of you. Think about that. Meditate on that. I think it'll give you strength in the midst of your own journey. I hope you feel God's face and sense the warmth of his face shining upon you. Just a reminder that there are resources that are available to you if you want to go to the Healing Care website or the HCM International website. There are videos that you can look at. There are a whole bunch of resources that are available to you, books and so forth. Also, don't forget that as we move towards September, I'm going to be doing the Identity Integrity and the Awakening of the True Self seminar. I'm going to do it in Ashland. I think it's the first full week of September. And then from the 11th to the 14th of October, I'll be doing it in Colorado. Would love to see you there. Go to the website. See if there's something that might help you in your own journey. God bless you.
For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Well, I will have hope. Yes, I will have hope. Yes, I will. Well, I will have hope. Yes, I will. So.